Red with WKGN. 1-3-4-0.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios in Knoxville, it's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. Here are your hosts, John Reed and Bob Baskerville.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Good Thursday morning, April 25th, draft day. No Kevin Costner, although my co-host here, if you squint, kind of looks like Kevin Costner. Bob Baskerville, how are you this morning?
Doing good. Really ready for the draft to happen. Not that I'm that excited about the draft. I just, oh my God, the buildup. Every year it seems to be getting more and more, and it starts earlier and earlier. All the material and content we can absorb, and how much of it's real, how much of it's going to happen, how much of it's not. Let's get to it. How are you?
I actually am very excited for the draft tonight. And I think you should soak it up, because next year looks a little boring with all the whack quarterbacks. So, like, maybe just soak it up and just strap into the J.J. McCarthy train and just ride whichever way it takes you. I'm excited for the draft. I'm excited for the Fan Run War Room tonight, 8 p.m. I'm going to take a nap if I'm coming back. It's my typical morning where I wake up and I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to come home after the show and take a nap. And I never do it. But I always think it. And then by the time the show's over, I'm awake and I'm fine. But I was thinking, if I'm coming back and I'm going to hang out for a couple hours here with Marcus Tucker and the Fan Run War Room crew, that I might need to catch a little couple Z's. But I'm excited. Draft day. Great day. Final mock drafts rolling in. People's last shot to get on record with what they've heard. All their offseason in the last couple months of scrambling, talking to sources, talking to people inside of teams, looking at needs, connecting dots. It's their last chance. We'll talk with Jordan DeJani, CBS Sports, in the third hour as we're heavy on the draft today. Sam Beard, my trusted producer over there. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Excited for draft day. Pumped for draft day, actually. Probably going to get home, knock my class out, immediately turn on draft day.
What'd your class ever do to you? Why are you going to knock it out? You get it, Bob? It's me talking about... him knocking it out literally like in a fight, but he just means finishing it.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Yearly tradition. Draft day on draft day. You got to...
Wait. Draft day on draft day. What does that mean? You get drunk? Drink drafts? What does that mean, draft day on draft day?
You watch the movie Draft Day on draft day.
Oh, I still have never watched that movie.
I have not watched it.
Yearly tradition. I wouldn't say it's like the greatest piece of cinema in the world, but it gets you in the mindset for sure. I think you need to watch it today, maybe. Maybe that's what you do instead of your nap, is you just go watch draft day.
Maybe that'll promote a nap.
Yeah, that might promote a nap, too.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I've always heard bad things. Like, when people describe the plot and the trades that he's making and
super unrealistic, but it's
yeah. That's what I've always heard, and I'm just like, you know, if I'm going to watch Super Unrealistic, I'm going to put on Fast and Furious.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Planet of the Apes, you know, something like that. Yeah. John Wick, something with some action that's super unrealistic. I don't know if I want to watch a movie about a front office in the NFL.
You feel like you're the GM a little bit, though.
Do you make the right pick?
Yeah.
Draft a running back, right? Like in the top five?
But
it doesn't feel like the right pick, you know, in hindsight.
Just wait.
I mean, I know he makes a couple of trades, but I feel like he still comes out on the wrong end of his trades, too. Like, I feel like he overpaid to get back up after he had traded down and didn't get as much. Isn't that what happens to him?
The whole point of the movie is exposing the quarterback who was like the clear number one overall pick, that he was like a bad evaluation, basically.
Right. I mean, that's kind of the same.
Covering his tracks on like trading up for that pick.
Yeah, but I was going to say, he traded up for it. Yeah. So, like, I mean, you're covering his tracks. I mean, like, why didn't you know this at the beginning? If I was the owner, I feel like when the draft day is described to me, like, I'm still firing you. Like, we still have to come and talk. And I know there's a whole thing with Jennifer Garner. Is she a part of the ownership group? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
is she the main owner?
She's
the owner's daughter?
Yeah, owner's daughter, I believe. Works like a front office role, kind of.
Are they boinking?
And yeah. Yeah.
That seems like a conflict of interest. I don't know if the NFL would like the GM of a franchise having relations with the team owner.
She's like the financial girl, basically. Like, they're like, can we make this? They trade up for the one pick, and he's like, can we make this work financially? She's like, I'll figure it out.
I mean,
it's a corny movie, honestly. But
yeah, I was gonna say, whenever people actually talk about it, it doesn't sound very appealing. But like, yeah, I mean, it also sounds a lot like the plot to Trouble with the Curve, another movie I've never watched, but I've seen enough of that on TikTok to know that, like, hey, Amy Adams, hard-nosed scout, and Clint Eastwood, old school, they beat out Matthew Lillard, who just, you know, sees the home runs and doesn't realize that the guy has trouble with the curve. And they're like, no, you got the wrong scout. We need to draft this guy. And
show him the curve.
Yeah. Yeah. Then the prospect strikes out the batter. Yeah. And
I think it's a movie that you have to watch early on, like maybe when it came out.
When you're a kid.
And yeah. It's like just, you know, it's real stupid. Feel like Madden.
There's a lot of sports movies that are like that for me. Like, I love sports movies. I love sports. But certain movies, I'm just like, I'm good. Like, Blindside, I never watched The Blindside.
Really?
Never bothered with it. Nah, I was like, I'm good.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I would expect you to see The Blindside.
No, thanks.
What about Any Given Sunday?
Love Any Given Sunday. That was one of the first DVDs I ever got back in, I guess, 2000, whenever I got my PlayStation 2 and had a DVD player for the first time. Any Given Sunday was on the list. It was that and Shawshank Redemption, which I didn't really understand at the time why my parents would get me Shawshank Redemption. It was pretty boring to a 10 or 11-year-old, but it's one, obviously, as you get older, you appreciate more for being a great movie. But 10, 11-year-old me was like, what the hell is this?
What are, like, the sports movies outside of that you haven't seen?
You know, there's a lot.
You seen, like, Mighty Ducks?
No, I love Mighty Ducks. Yeah, Mighty Ducks, Angels in the Outfield, I love a lot of those. But, like, like I said, I never bothered with The Blind Side. Draft Day, no thanks.
Remember the Titans?
Yeah, that's one that you get pushed onto you as a kid. I think it's overrated, but I watch it. A little too loose with the true story for me to really enjoy it as I get older, but I like it. I like the racial harmony aspect of it. When they got the big fat boy singing Ain't No Mountain High. Like, hey, he's fat. That's what makes it funny. No, I like that one, but I mean, like,
you don't like The Sandlot either, right?
No, don't put words in my mouth, Sam. I like The Sandlot. It's just not a baseball movie. It's a coming-of-age tale.
Sure. That's fine.
Yeah. I don't consider it a sports movie. But, like, I don't think I ever watched Miracle either, the hockey one.
That's wild.
Yeah, like, I've seen the speech, but I don't think I, like, ever actually watched the movie. I'm good. I know they win.
About basketball movies. Hoosiers, White Men Can't Jump.
Love White Men Can't Jump. Begrudgingly watched Hoosiers. That's another one I kind of pushed back on. It's got conflicting stories there, Bob. Is it team basketball, everyone touches the ball, or is it like, hey, give Jimmy Chitwood the ball and get out of the way? Because that's, you know, whenever the chips were down, he backed off of his stance. All of a sudden, the team basketball went out the window, and it was give Kobe the ball and get out of the way. That's what it turned into, and I'm just like, you set me up the whole movie making me believe in team basketball, but then it's just like, hey, ISO ball, get out of the way. I'll hit it, coach. No, basketball movies I love.
Blue Chips.
Actually, I never watched Blue Chips. That's another one that goes down.
I haven't seen that either.
That's what I probably need to watch. That probably ages pretty well.
It's pretty fantastical. You know, I mean, it's a little over the top, but it's good because there's a lot of, you recognize so many people in it and everything. It's fun from that perspective.
Well, and you just look at the NIL landscape of today, and maybe Blue Chips kind of knew what was going on. And, you know, obviously we knew people were cheating back then, but yeah, that's what I probably need to watch. Probably what I need to watch. But draft day every year, it's like, hey, now's the year to watch it. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm okay.
I might have to check it out now. Sam's got me. thinking about it.
It's not. Yeah, don't go in thinking that it's going to be like winning an award or anything. But
yeah,
it'll get you in the right mood for your draft day vibes.
Probably won't last as long as the first round of the draft. So
yeah,
that'll be good.
Watching draft day simultaneously with the draft day.
I'm
syncing up the picks.
I'm just gonna that war room event tonight. That sounds fun until it's 10:30. Yeah. But I think it's cool you guys are doing it.
Hopefully somebody will be trade happy like Kevin Costner and just moving up and down and up and down and up and down. I still think the Chargers should have been trade happy. Just get really wild.
Tonight?
Yeah, or maybe the Bears. I think the Bears should have been more trade happy. I think the Bears fumbled the bag here.
Who says they won't? There still could be something.
I don't think there's going to be anything crazy today in terms of like anything jaw-dropping when it comes to trades, especially at the top of the draft. I feel like you do that prior to the day of if you're going to move up that high. You know, we had that with the I feel like the Bears and Panthers traded like a month before the draft, right, last mm-hmm. year?
Maybe longer than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited, though. We'll talk some NFL draft throughout the show, but we will check in on the Tennessee basketball team as the portal turns coming up after the break. Stick with us.
A brand built.
Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. You know the drill. Drink some White Claw Hard Seltzer for the draft tonight. Before we talk draft, though, let's check in on the Tennessee basketball team. Bob, I told you yesterday I was nearing my end of caring about the transfer portal. I believe I said that I am under the understanding that we are coming out of this, and I named three players, and I said I think we're going to get them. Igor, Okparo, and Chaz Lanier. There's too much smoke around all three of those guys not to be the case. A domino fell yesterday with Chaz Lanier officially entering the transfer portal with a do not contact tag, which usually means that player knows where he's going. People have connected the dots there and think he is coming to Tennessee. And we had the updates coming out of campus yesterday that Okparo was there and had a great visit. People feel good about that. And we've kind of had some info and intel. We've talked about Igor feeling imminent to Tennessee as well. So it looks like those three guys should end up in Knoxville.
Yeah, it's what I heard yesterday was pretty much, again, we don't have announcements. We don't have commitment news, so to speak. But all the back channel talk is Igor's a go. Akpara's visit, as you mentioned, went really well. And that feels like that one was almost, again, Tennessee's to lose coming into the visit. And it sounds like both sides are in good shape. They're maybe even talking NIL details at this point. And yeah, and then Lanier hopping into the portal yesterday afternoon was big. And it's interesting on that one because there was some chatter out there that Maryland might have had a shot at him. At least they felt so. But the no contact tag that he put on, unless it's just a total, you know, blindside, seems to kind of lock it up that he's coming to Tennessee. So from where we were yesterday, we felt like there were some indicators. It's still not formalized, so we continue to wait. But boy, it feels like it's getting closer to being those three guys. Not a word on Cade Tyson, and it makes me wonder if these things are advancing with the other three like we're hearing. Then, you know, the Cade Tyson conversation, he just to me always just felt like a long shot anyway. I'll be shocked if he didn't end up at North Carolina. So so I think we're making some progress, slow but sure, and you know, we still could wrap this week up with news that these guys are formally in the fold with the Vols.
So news that we have been waiting for starting to trickle in, huh?
I think so.
Okay.
Feels like it. Just feels like there, you use the term smoke. There's been so much smoke on this. I think it'll be a shocker if these don't materialize at this point, just based on what people are talking about. And it's not just randoms, you know, it's people who have connections to people and sources that know this stuff. So yeah, I think it feels pretty positive. Haven't heard any more about those other two names that we talked briefly about yesterday, the Elijah Hawkins and Tucker Anderson stuff. I mean, those guys, if they were part of the plan, they'd probably be more role players and backups anyway. So we'll see if anything happens there. But
yeah, I feel like Hawkins, is it Minnesota?
Yes.
Minnesota transfer. I don't think he makes sense when you look at Lanier. I don't really buy that name. Kind of the same way we talked about the Ohio State with Roddy. Is it Roddy Gale or Roddy Gay, whatever it is?
Yeah.
At Ohio State, who transferred to Michigan. I never really bought that. Didn't seem like a fit. I feel that way about Hawkins. Not saying they're a similar player, but just it doesn't add up when you start looking at the numbers and his standing and what he would probably want to do in terms of go somewhere and start versus come here and be a backup. I think if you do get Chaz Lanier, who is officially in the portal and seems all vol and has for like really the last month, it seems like that's a guy that you probably trust to run some backup point guard for you, so it kind of alleviates that need to bring in anybody else. So the project kid, Hawkins, or no, what's the kid's name?
Tucker Anderson.
Tucker Anderson, yeah, the former Lady Vol son. We talked about him being more of a project, a freshman could come up here and kind of be a bench guy and kind of come up here and hopefully develop. That makes a lot more sense for that final spot as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it could be. I am excited. I've tried to keep my excitement tamped down on Lanier just because there wasn't any, you know, there was just so much scuttlebutt. He wasn't in the portal. You know, he was going through the process. But now that he's in the portal, checked him out a little more, and new term that I had heard recently, because there's a couple players out there, what they call coin flip three-point shooters, and he's closer to that. He's, I think, 44 or 45%. They keep talking about his offensive efficiency, doing it at a different level than what he'd be doing here at Tennessee, but we saw how it worked with Dalton Connect. So it doesn't mean the kid's going to be Dalton, but I'm just saying that, you know, he can make that jump and make that transition. It's kind of exciting to see.
Sam, do you have any Chaz Lanier takes? You told us you were ahead of the curve on Dalton Connect. I'm curious what you think about Lanier.
Yeah, I think Lanier's really good. I think Bob just, you know, he touched on it right there, but I think he's a great three-point shooter. Like he said, about 44, 45%, and shoots, I think, 6 or 7 a game as well. So he's shooting at a high clip and, you know, shooting at a high volume as well. And so I think that's a guy who's obviously going to come in here and not be afraid to shoot the ball, and you know, he knows what he brings to the table and everything like that. So I do think you're getting another dynamic scorer in him, and hopefully he can kind of, you know, fill that gap in a little bit that Connect really brought this year.
I found myself watching a 5.5-minute highlight video of his yesterday.
He's nice.
He is, but I turned it off like 2.5 minutes into it. It's so hard to judge against that level of competition. Like the shot, the release is quick. I mean, it looks good. The shot looks pure. The stuff with him getting to the rim and finishing like that, I don't know if you can really if it'll translate. It didn't seem like he had like the jump out of the gym athleticism like Connect had. So I mean, I imagine, Sam, if you actually did watch, you know, Dalton Connect highlights and saw his best plays cut up, you'd see like, oh yeah, this guy's big and long and can finish at the rim. Mm-hmm. With Lanier, I saw him finishing at the rim, but against smaller schools.
More finesse score, it seems like, for sure.
Yeah. I don't get the – just from the 2.5 minutes I watched, I'm not going to act like I'm an expert, but didn't get the same, like, three-level score as Connect type of vibe. But the shooting seemed legit to me. It was a quick release. It was a good release.
Yeah, it looks like he can take it off the dribble pretty well, too, from three. That's kind of intriguing as well. It looks like it's not like he necessarily has to run off all sorts of screens to generate shots. He can create his own.
Well, I assume he's going to be in the Santi role, right? If you're looking at players and where they fit in on this team, I imagine he gets slotted in. And I will say, like, going in before watching his video and before watching the highlights, I think I said yesterday that he would be a guy off the bench. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I think he's your starting two guard. So, like, that means to me you just kind of slide him in the Santi role. And I don't know if he's that level of defender, but if you're kicking the ball out to someone, he does look like he will be able to get quick shots up or actually do something with the pump fake and drive, Bob, because you're talking about him getting to the rim and blowing people off the three-point line. A lot of that's because of how good of a shooter he is, too, in terms of people trying to close out on him. So he does look capable of driving past people for sure.
I was reading one of the posts from Jonathan. Is it Givany or
Givany?
Givany, and he speaks to Lanier having a 67% true shooting percentage. So, do you know what true shooting is?
True shooting percentage is a formula, and it takes in like free throws. You get extra points for free throws. It counts threes and it weighs threes higher than twos. It's basically shot per attempt. I think is essentially what it.
Yeah,
boils down to in its simplest form. Big men usually have really good true shooting percentages, and then what'd you say, 63%?
67%.
I mean, that's really, really good.
Yeah.
That's what people talk about as efficiency. That's what they're kind of referring to. We had some updates. Go ahead, Sam.
This little article on true shooting percentage is just saying that KD is like consistently above 60% in his career, and that's like top of the league.
Right, I was going to say Durant is notorious for it. It basically just comes to efficiency. So it's a formula. You calculate, you divide the total points scored by the sum of the field goals attempted, then you multiply it by 0.475 times the free throws attempted. So it's a formula. Basically, it's supposed to, like I said, twos, threes, field goal, and free throws, and you have different values on it. Three pointers worth more than two, and the ability to draw fouls and score for the free throw line is important. So that's what you want in scores, as a guy who gets to the free throw line, hits his free throws, and a guy who shoots pretty good from threes. It's a formula that's tried to kind of weigh that out properly. So the big men that can shoot free throws are always up at the top. Durant's kind of a big man that could also shoot threes and get to the free throw line. So, yeah, he's always one of the leaders.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's, again, playing at a different level of competition, like we said, but he's clearly got some game. So, and I, after watching some of the video, I didn't want to anoint him as a starter until I started watching some of this yesterday, and now I'm kind of like, I get it. I get it now.
Well, it's what I kind of mentioned yesterday about competition. Like, I don't think he's a day one starter that comes in and is anointed. I think he is someone that's going to have to compete with, you know, Gainey. And I think he's someone that's going to have to compete with Meshack. And that's the thing about these three transfers I talked about, like, or four transfers, you know, if you still count Dubar. All these guys are transferring here probably thinking they should be starting, and I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case. One of these guys is going to have to come off of the bench. Now, I think if you get Okparo as your starting center, that's pretty solidified. I don't know. I mean, he'll have to compete with Estrella, but I imagine he is your starting center, and that one's, you know, he's got, I don't want to say a stranglehold, but a good lead. But then, like, you look at the four, you know, I don't know. I don't know what Tennessee's going to do there with either Igor or JP or Meshack or Dubar. And then you kind of go to the three and you start adding it up. Okay, well, I think Meshack's the start. I think Meshack should be that guy. But, you know, then you start adding Lanier and Igor and Dubar there. And all of a sudden you got, you know, three spots and four guys, really five guys. For four spots. So, I mean, like, what are you going to do? Or for three spots? So that to me will be fascinating as we kind of fill out the roster.
Yeah, I'm thinking about, like, opening day or opening night. I'd be shocked to not see Jemai in the starting lineup then. But it does make you wonder what will happen as the season progresses.
I don't know. I liked last year having defined starters, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, you had some guys get some early game starting because you had some injuries and some personal issues, like, you know, Vescovy and Zakai were a little late to the starting lineup. I believe, you know, Vescovy missed some time. I believe that's how it went, but maybe not. Maybe he was back by game one. Maybe I've forgotten.
No, I mean,
I don't think he missed a game.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he was just kind of out of it for
a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Maybe he didn't miss any time. Okay. But, of course, Zakai did.
Yeah.
So you had, you know, Gainey get some run as a starter and then went back to the bench. But other than that, I was going to say, like, I liked having the starting five kind of defined. And Tennessee had really good injury luck last year, too. You didn't really have to shuffle your starting lineup once Zakai was back. You know, it was kind of solidified. I kind of liked that. So I don't know if I want, you know, to get to the season with one group of stars and start moving people around. I would like to have defined roles as you get to the season. And that's kind of what the offseason and the international trip was for, I think. So I prefer it that way for sure.
Sam, I don't know if you can check this out, but I'm just sitting there. We're talking about Lanier and the three-point efficiency, the overall shooting efficiency. What kind of numbers did Gainey have when he came in from South Carolina Upstate? Because all I can remember is, and I'm thinking back to that Michigan State exhibition where obviously Dalton showed out, but Gainey was, I was like, man, we got a shooter. You know, I mean, he was dropping threes and he looked really, really good. And he still had moments all season long, and he also contributed in some other ways on defense, et cetera. But he kind of fell off a cliff for moments at a time in terms of shooting. I just wonder, you know, he came in with, I think the book on him was, he was a shooter. I just wonder sometimes if we underestimate that transition to a higher level.
He was only about a 35% three-point shooter when he came in.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
And more so, Sam, I think you look at just the field goal percentage in general. Sure, like, yeah. I don't think his true shooting, Bob, would have been very high. He was 39% from the field, 34.5% from three, 77% from the free throw line. Lanier clears in all across the board. Like, comparatively speaking, Lanier is a 51% from the field guy. So, like, that alone is what, 12%? I said 39% for Gainey his last year at SC Upstate.
35.
Is it 35%?
Mm-hmm.
No, from the field, not from three. Yeah. I think it was 39%, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, 11% higher. The threes went from 34.5%, whereas Lanier is a 44% guy. Free throw percentage is 88%, so 10% higher there. So, no, at every level, at least compared to SC Upstate, Jordan Gainey, Lanier was higher.
Well, that's making me feel even better then.
Yeah, it kind of locks in what I have said this morning. I think that's your two-guard starter. Yesterday I said bench. That wasn't correct. I think he's definitely a two-guard starter if he ends up here at Tennessee. So we're still on Igor watch. We're still on Okparo watch. A couple of Tennessee players that hit the portal found a home. No, not the big man. Still waiting on them. But Freddie DeLeon did not end up at NC State like everyone thought. He ended up at Penn State, which is that going to be a place where he could go and start, you think, Sam?
Hope so.
I mean, I haven't seen much for Penn State basketball. Yeah, I mean, they've been the same program for the last 20 years, it feels like, where they're a fringe bubble team at best and a doormat at worst, and they just kind of hope to win 7-8 games in conference.
Yeah, I'm not going to act like I'm the biggest Penn State basketball expert, but I would hope that Freddie's transferring somewhere where he can't start. I feel like that's what he was wanting to, so.
And DJ Jefferson ends up at Longwood, a team I think has made the tournament 3 years in a row, so a good mid-major program. Hopefully he can get some minutes there. I don't know if he'll be able to start, but hopefully he's just a guy who can go there and play and win some games. I got no ill will towards either one of those guys. I'm a little bit saltier towards Freddie than Jefferson, but that's just because we know how much Freddie was getting paid last year NIL-wise. That makes me feel a little sick. But Jefferson, I wish the best for him. And I still want DeLeon to succeed, too.
I'm just looking at, for grins, and they're different players as far as their position, but it's a guy Tennessee was looking at. Lanier outperforms Cade Tyson, too, in true shooting percentage, three-point shooting percentage. Again, Tyson's a little bigger, plays the – could play a little bit of the four, but I think he's kind of a wing guy. So I'm liking this the more I look at it.
Outperformed him head-to-head or
– No. Just take the percentages. It's just I would figure the level of competition is relatively similar. I mean, Belmont was in the Missouri Valley, so it's a little tougher conference than where Chaz was. But
I don't think he cleared him three-point-wise. I think because what, Lanier's 44%? Isn't Tyson more, closer to like 45, 46%?
41.7 is what I got.
That was 2 years ago. I'm pretty sure he's 46.5%.
Oh, I see it now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know off the top of my head, but I feel like Lanier is probably shooting more than Tyson per game, though, as well.
You think so?
I would think so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, judging the way they shoot threes either. I haven't watched Cade Tyson. I don't know how much screens he's coming off of versus creating. And a 1%, 2%, you know, margin is negligible. Cade Tyson, I think I still would rather have him than Lanier. Bob, are you saying the opposite? Are you saying you like Lanier more, just seeing the percentages of shooting?
I'm happy with Lanier is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean, I'm okay with not getting Tyson if that's going to be the situation. It'd be great to have Tyson,
sure.
But if we're not getting him, I think we're doing okay.
At this point, Sam, I don't know if it's even worth the debate, but we had the hypothetical, the choose one, Cade Tyson or Jermaine Mashak. Knowing that you almost certainly have Lanier who can come give you some of that scoring. You have Dubar who can give you that scoring.
Jermaine Mashak, yeah.
Mashak seems more important now, right? Now
that, absolutely.
Now that it seems like you've answered the question in the portal offensively, like now I think Mashak seems even more important defensively. You don't necessarily have to rely on him to give you buckets because you should have some guys out there giving you buckets. Like Zakai could score, could set the table. If you have Lanier and you have Dubar out there, like those guys should be the ones that they're responsible for getting buckets and spacing the floor. Bob, you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
So we should break up publicly with Cade Tyson. We should have Rick Barnes back. No, we're good. We're moving on.
Kind of like what we had to do with Tobe.
Yeah. And do it publicly, Rick. Tell him we're taking his offer back. We're good. We take care of our own. So we're letting the Tennessee kid that wants to be here come. And we're also going to get the son of the Lady Vol. Let's go bring him home. That's what we're doing. We're taking care of our own around here, buddy. You want to go to North Carolina? Go ahead. You're not using us for leverage and to drive up the bidding war anymore. No sorry. Okay. Feeling good.
Yeah, let's hope there's continued movement. Maybe today we get some more news that these guys formally commit. But all indicators look good. That's exciting.
Obvious question of the two uncommitted guys we're waiting on. We look at Akparo as a much bigger need, right, and a much bigger necessity. That's obvious. But Igor, level of excitement, level of need, how do you feel about him? Because I'll be honest, I'm still somewhat indifferent about him. Like, I'm fine with the depth piece, but, like, I don't want him to be a starter and – if he comes here, great. But, like, if he doesn't, I think I'm okay with that. That's where I'm kind of at with Igor Milicic.
Yeah, I'd like to see him come. I'm intrigued by 6'10 and can shoot from outside in this day and age. That's pretty important. Always the unknown for me is, again, how much reliance Barnes has put in the past on your defensive capabilities. And I don't know. I can't speak to that with him. But maybe we're seeing a change. We're definitely seeing a change with how Barnes is approaching the volume of transfers that they're looking at bringing in. So maybe it's what we've talked about this week. Maybe there's an understanding that in this new age of the game, defense is great. It's always going to be important, but you got to keep getting offensive weapons, and I think Igor could be one of those.
Size and shooting. That's what's G-Reg told us a month ago, and, you know, that's kind of been, at least with Dubar and Igor, and even being interested in Cade Tyson. Lanier's not necessarily small either. 6'4 as a two-guard in college. I mean, is that how big Vescovy was?
Yeah.
Vescovy seems small sometimes, but never like at a detriment, right? Like
he was about what, 6'2", I thought, something like that.
Okay,
but I mean, you know,
I thought he was listed at 6'4", but maybe he was one of those that played more closer to 6'2".
Probably is 6'2" and is listed at 6'4".
Right, that's what I was gonna say. Like I swear he was listed at 6'4", but yeah, maybe played more at 6'2". I don't know.
6'3" is what ESPN has him listed as.
Okay, so split the difference. I don't know if Lanier is that same type of, you know, inflated height or whatever, but. Yeah, Igor, you know, 37.6% on 4.83, so he was having some volume there and could shoot. So, yeah, if given my choice of have him or not have him, I definitely want him. I definitely want him. I just don't put – I view him as kind of a cherry on the top.
Yeah, but I'm with you. Given the transition we're going through with Adu and Awaka both out, Akpara is really a priority right now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. We'll keep you updated as the Tennessee transfer portal turns. Stick with us. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach who realized... Send a letter in the mail.
Got a couple tweets to get to. Do you get a little worried by Lanier's production the first couple of years? If it came down to Tyson and Lanier, I think you'd take Tyson. Well, first of all, yeah, I agree. If it comes down to Tyson and Lanier, I'd rather have the guy at 6'7 versus the guy at 6'4. And that's without even really seeing the film and, like, watching. But, like, similar shooting, I'll always take the size. Sam, agree or disagree there? If you had Lanier or Tyson.
Kind of disagree.
Okay.
I think in terms of fit for this team, I like Lanier more than Tyson a little bit.
For what reason?
I think you just have that hole kind of at that two spot that I think Lanier fits really well. I think there's pieces on this team already that you can kind of tool together those three and four spots a little bit easier. And I kind of think guys like Mayshak and things like that, their minutes start to get a little bit hazier, I think, if a guy like Tyson comes into the fold.
Okay. Bob, are you of the same thinking if you could choose between Lanier or Tyson?
I would say this without seeing a whole lot of Cade Tyson highlights, but what I mentioned in the last segment about Lanier that I was struck by just watching his video, and I recognize, too, that they put these videos together, it's the best of, you know? I mean, it's not like what you can expect every single play, but his ability to create off the dribble I think is important. We don't have much of that right now, at least not what I'm seeing. Obviously, Zakai can do a little. Jamai can't really do that. We lost a lot of that with Dalton for sure, so we need more of that. My only concern is if Tyson is more of a, again, you know, coming off the wing spot up shooter type player. I just think we might need more at the top of the court in terms of being able to create, and it looks like Lanier's got that capability.
Yeah, I know statistics don't tell this entire story, but like it's. Lanier's a 1.8 assist per game guy, and Tyson's 1.6. So, like, I don't think there's a huge difference in terms of just actual statistics. Now, I know that doesn't tell a story about off the dribble breaking people down, but I just go with size and shooting, man. That's what the theme of the offseason is for me, and Tyson's bigger. And I think if you put Mayshak at the two, which I think he could play if you had Dubar and Tyson stretching the floor and shooting, then I think that's just a really big team, man. I think Zakai at the point, of course, plays bigger than his size, but is undersized. But outside of that, like, you know, you'd have Dubar, who's 6'8", Tyson, who's 6'7", Mayshak, who's, what, 6'5", 6'6". Like, that's a really big trio of wings out there, and that would be appealing to me. So if I could choose one, I'd go Tyson. It sounds like my two cohorts here go with Lanier.
Yeah, I could imagine if Akpara can be as stout a defender as we're hearing and also generate a little more offense than he needed to at Ohio State, I could see them going with a bit of a smaller lineup in a way. I mean, and what I mean by that is I could even see it being Dubar, Akpara, Lanier, Jamai, and Zakai.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that's the most likely lineup for sure. But, I mean, Dubar at 6'8", like, size-wise, I don't think is going to be overmatched, but or at least height-wise. But I don't know. You know, he's a wing. He's not a post. Right. I don't know how he could guard the post. So like that would be alarming to me. But you would hope that you could find enough defense at the point of attack with Zakai and Meshack with some hopefully elite rim protection that could kind of
cover
some of that up. But I do think right now, you know, we kind of mentioned it yesterday, but you're making the shift to being more of an offensive team.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to lose the defensive identity as long as Barnes is here and as long as Meshack and Zakai are here. You're going to play defense. It just might not be top three defense in the country. It might go down to like top 12. And your offense is going to go from like 28th to 30th, to maybe up to top 15.
Yeah, and we've analyzed, we haven't today, but in the past, we've analyzed Dubar's, you know, let's not lose sight of the fact Dubar is a pretty effective shooter from three as well. So I still think we've got some of those. I'm with you. I love the notion of size and shooting. We still have some of that. And Lanier at 6'4", if he's truly 6'4", is not, you know, not small. So I don't know. I kind of like the notion of going to war with that type of lineup because it gives us a lot of offense, and we still keep some of that defensive identity, like we've been saying, which is going to be important. You know, you have it with Zakai and Jamai, and then presumably Akpara. We're putting a lot on Akpara here, but that's what we got right now.
Yeah, I mean, like he's going to have to be an elite rim protector, and Estrella, when he's, you know, when he has his minutes, he's going to have to really be good at defense too.
Yeah,
I hope that whenever Rick Barnes decides to hang it up. And, you know, we're winding down. I don't know if this will be his last year, if he's got a couple more years, whatever. I hope that he knows a year in advance and he can go to the powers that be that cut checks. And I hope he can kind of let them know, like, hey, this is my last chance. This is my last hoorah. If we're going to do it, let's break the bank. Let's load up the roster as good as we can for one last run. So if this is his last year, I hope he's told somebody. And they're like, you know what? Usually we wouldn't overpay for a Cade Tyson, but you know what? Bleep it. Here you go, Cade. Here's your $800,000. We're going to give Barnes nine guys that can all play at a high level and like hopefully go win a national championship. I hope he tells people whenever he's ready to hang it up. That way we could give him the best roster possible for the last shot at it. I will say that yesterday I did go ahead and lock in Tennessee at 35-1 to win the title. I just feel like that's a good number. I feel like, you know, if you're already kind of a top five roster returning, so like you had like the 15th best odds to win it all.
You made a college basketball futures bet like a month after the season
ended. I had some money in the account. I was like, you know what? I'll go ahead and spend this money now, and then I'm not going to miss this $200 whenever the season comes around. It'll be like found money.
I just hate futures bets. I can't stand having to.
We call that investments. No, I get it. You're a college student.
Yeah,
a college student doesn't need to be making future bets. You need to be worried about eating and, yeah, like getting a little action on the game, immediate gratification.
Sure.
Future bets are more just, you know, I got a little bit of money laying around. It's fun. Got to put it like in some type of trust, some type of CD fund or something. Nah, just put it on the Vols. If Tennessee ever wins a national championship or something, I'll get my money back. I'll get it all back that I've lost. I just need a national championship in one sport.
I'll probably place my Titans over on win total actually tonight if we get Joe Alt.
There you go.
Yeah. So, what am I saying?
24-1 before the season, or basically the first weekend of the baseball season. It's down to like 10-1, 12-1. So you know, I had a $200 free bet. So 200 to win 4,800. So I see the national championship is something, and I'll be sitting pretty.
I'm watching these Cade Tyson highlights, and I'm thinking I'm like the Kentucky baseball play-by-play guy. Like, uh-oh, his stuff looks good.
Yeah, the comments you guys have made. I was gonna say I haven't watched full of him, but like I've read a lot of good things about him and seen enough to be like, I think you guys are underselling him. But also, like, I don't think we're getting him. So let's pump up the guy we are getting. So I kind of agree with you guys. No, we want Lanier. We don't even want Cade Tyson, unless he comes, and like is a stud. Like he's gonna be. If you're looking for the next Dalton Connect, and that's going to be the popular phrase, and I saw some guy even say, like, hey, Chaz Lanier, I think he has the potential to be the next Dalton Connect, which I don't know if that's wink, wink. We all know he's going to Tennessee, but he can also explode and, like, be this guy that everyone is talking about. But, like, Cade Tyson, if he does go to North Carolina, going to be, like, a really, you know, big-time player at a big-time program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. Yeah, RJ Davis is staying there, too, so... He wouldn't have to be the guy.
Get a job.
He is. You can't say that anymore. He's not Perry Ellis the third or whatever. Was he a third at Kansas? Perry Ellis the third?
Yeah.
I think
you're right.
He's not Perry Ellis that felt like he stayed in school for 10 years for free. quotation marks, free. At least RJ Davis is getting some NIL money. He is getting a job. You can't say that anymore because he's probably getting at least, you know, $500,000.
Yeah, I guess.
He'd tell you to get a job. Don't worry about me. I'm playing basketball and I'm getting paid. You go to school for free, bro.
Get a job.
Another tweeter writes in. Davis. Yeah, I mean, I don't like him either, but.
Shot chucker. Generational.
Is that his reputation? Because he's just basically Caleb Love with a different name?
Yeah.
I know, like, the statistics of their tournament exit was very similar, but I didn't know that he had that reputation just being like Caleb Love, just straight shot chucker.
I felt he was a little smoother looking at it than Love. Love just sometimes looked nuts out there, you know, just like his hair was on fire. Davis always just looked like he was fluid all the time.
Now, what I will say for Sam's allegations is that it did take a year before we really realized that about Caleb Love, too. Like, everyone liked it at first. It's like, oh, never mind, just a chucker.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe
he had to return for you to know
that's what
that.
I'm saying. So, yeah. Like, maybe RJ Davis next year, now that I'm aware, I'll just be like, oh, shot chucker. he ain't that guy. He ain't that guy. Another Twitter writes saying, Cool Runnings, a top 10 sports movie. Ah. That's one of those. I have seen Cool Runnings, so don't add it to the list of movies I haven't seen. But that's what I haven't seen as an adult. I haven't revisited. I loved it as a kid. Feel the rhythm. Feel the... What was it after that? Feel the rhythm. Feel the... rhyme.
That's the movie about, like, the bobsledders.
Yeah, the Jamaican bobsled team, yeah.
What about that? And now the name escapes me, but we've both seen it. The Netflix movie that Sandler did where he was a scout.
Yeah, that was what? Hustle?
Hustle, that was it.
It was actually kind of solid, I thought.
No, that was a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those that, like, it's sports adjacent.
Yeah.
There's no big game. You got to have a big game. And, like, in this one, it's like a big, like, in the game, they're doing a, I guess they're having the big one-on-one showcase with him and Anthony Edwards, or whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah.
In the movie, Anthony Edwards' name is in the movie. I don't think he's playing himself. He has a different
It's more
name.
Like the feel-good story at the end where, like, I don't want to ruin the movie.
Yeah, don't ruin the movie. But they have the big head-to-head at the end. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that is a big game. It's not a sanctioned game, but it's not that different than, like, White Men Can't Jump playing street ball. So, yeah, like, I liked Hustle a lot. I liked it a lot.
If you need a big game in something, Uncut Gems had a big game.
It did. Yeah, Uncut
Gems. There was a lot riding on that game.
I liked Uncut Gems. But, yeah, Hustle was good. The training montages had some Rocky feel to it. It was inspirational. I liked it.
Air Bud? The Air Bud guy?
Air Bud.
I mean, I did like Air Bud.
It's elite.
I've seen Air Bud somewhat recently. It holds up, but also it makes me cry. It makes me cry. It's one of those, I don't know if it's grandfathered in, like, I cried at this as a kid, so I'm going to cry every time I see it now. Like, Armageddon's that same way. Armageddon made me cry as, like, a 10-year-old. So I cry every time I see Armageddon at the end. Every time I tear up. I know what's going to happen. I know that Bruce Willis is going to push Ben Affleck back into the little space elevator. I know that he's going to rip the patch off and say to give it to Billy Bob Thornton's character who has messed up legs and can't be in space. I know that Barry Pepper's going to be like, permission to shake the hand of the daughter of the best damn man I ever met, who he just hated like a couple hours ago. I know he's going to give the big speech to his Gracie at the end. It's going to make me cry, all of it. I know the little kid's finally going to get, his mom's finally going to get to let him be proud of his dad. I know it's just going to be like, you know, hey, mom, that's the salesman. And she's like, no, that's not a salesman. That's your dad. And, like, you have that big moment. I'm about to cry just thinking about it. It just hits me all over. I got goosebumps, Bob. It makes me – it puts me in a wreck every time. Armageddon.
Okay. Before we hit a break, you mentioned Anthony Edwards. I saw a commercial last night. Have you seen the commercial with – I think it's Edwards. I couldn't quite place him because he was in street clothes and stuff, but it was Jokic – and a little pony and Edwards walking through a hotel. I think it's for like hotels.com or something. And they're walking in and Edwards is like, hey man, you ever, you know, that joke, two guys and a horse walk through a hotel and Jokic is like, no, it's a pony. It's a pony. And it's just awkwardness, but it was pretty good. I mean, the fact that Jokic is now getting commercial stuff and he's kind of playing into his persona. It was kind of fun, but I saw it last night during one of the NBA games. Figured it was a matter of time before Edwards starts getting some commercial play.
I'll have to check. Nothing's coming up with Anthony Edwards hotels.
Maybe it's somebody else. It sure looked like Edwards, though, like cleaned up and, in, you know, again, in street clothes. And
I don't know, Bob.
Maybe it was someone else.
I don't know.
It's another pro player.
It's someone named Peyton Watson.
What's that?
A Nuggets teammate, I believe.
God, Peyton Watson. I didn't realize he was on the Nuggets.
So the transition from the transition didn't work.
No.
Or it might even be Jimmy Butler.
No, it's not Butler. That I know for sure. I would have known that.
Okay, well, this one says Hotel.com ads with NBA star Nikola Jokic and Jimmy Butler, so maybe it's a different
one. I was kind of hoping it was Edwards, I guess, because yeah. I want to see him. I want to see more of him. I think he's kind of a fascinating character.
He'll be up next when it comes to the commercials. He's a star in the making, or already a star.
Yeah.
Damn it, I feel like Jimmy Himes. The Athletic just got me for $8. That my $1 a month, you know,
yeah,
thing ended, and then I just got the email that they just charged my PayPal $8. I went to pay $8 for the Athletic. I feel like Jimmy Himes. I've been gotten.
You kind of do, though.
I know. I don't really want to cancel it.
Yeah, it's one of those that
I want to be able to read it when I can, when I want to. But if you cancel, they just keep offering you. Come back. We'll only charge you $1, and then you just go back for $1.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, maybe if you cancel it, you'll get the deal again, yeah, or something like that.
Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two with some stories you missed from yesterday about last night. Stick with us.
A brand built in Tennessee and born from the love of the game. Inward Half revolutionizes